Good morning, Newville. If you'll open up your Bibles to Ecclesiastes, I'll be reading from chapters 1 and 2. If you'd like to follow along.
Is it in the back of the devotional?
Nope.
Okay. I'll be reading Ecclesiastes, all of chapter 1. Chapter 2, I'll be reading verse 11 and 18 through 26. Everything is futile. The words of the teacher, son of David, king of in Jerusalem. Absolute futility, says the teacher. Absolute futility. Everything is futile. What does a man gain for all his efforts he labors at under the sun? A generation goes and a generation comes, but the earth remains forever. The sun rises and the sun sets. Panting, it returns to its place where it rises. Gusting to the south, turning to the north, turning goes the wind, and the wind returns in its cycles. All the streams flow to the sea, yet the sea is never full. The streams are flowing to the place, and they flow there again. All things are wearisome. Man is unable to speak. The eye is not satisfied by seeing, or the ear filled with hearing. What has been is what will be, and what has been done is what will be done. There is nothing new under the sun. Can one say about anything, "Look, this is new"? It has already existed in the ages before us. There is no memory of those who came before, and of those who will come after, there will also be no memory among those who follow them. I, the teacher, have been king over Israel and Jerusalem. I applied my mind to seek and explore through wisdom all that is done under heaven. God has given people this miserable task to keep them occupied. I have seen all the things that are done under the sun and have found everything to be futile, a pursuit of the wind. What is crooked cannot be straightened. What is lacking cannot be counted. I said to myself, "Look, I have amassed wisdom far beyond all those who were over Jerusalem before me, and my mind has thoroughly grasped wisdom and knowledge. I applied my mind to know wisdom and knowledge, madness and folly. I learned that this too is a pursuit of the wind. For with much wisdom is much sorrow. As knowledge increases, grief increases." The emptiness of possessions. When I considered all that I had accomplished and what I had labored to achieve, I found everything to be futile and a pursuit of the wind. There was nothing to be gained under the sun. The emptiness of work. I hated all my work at which I labored under the sun because I must leave it to the man who comes after me. And who knows whether he will be a wise man or a fool? Yet he will take over all my work that I labored at skillfully under the sun. This too is futile. So I began to give myself over to despair concerning all my work I had labored at under the sun. For there is a man whose work was done with wisdom, knowledge, and skill, but he must give his portion to a man who has not worked for it. This too is futile and a great wrong. For what does a man get with all his work and all his efforts that he labors with under the sun? For all his days are filled with grief and his occupation is sorrowful. Even at night, his mind does not rest. This too is futile. There is nothing better for man than to eat, drink, and to enjoy his work. I have seen that even this is from God's hand. For who can eat and who can enjoy life apart from him? For to the man who is pleasing in his sight, he gives wisdom, knowledge, and joy. But to the sinner, he gives the task of gathering and accumulating in order to give to the one who is pleasing in God's sight. This too is futile and a pursuit of the wind. And may God add his blessing to that reading of his word.
Yeah, so that's we read Ecclesiastes here. Teresa read this. And I just want you to think about a couple of things before we dismiss. You know who's writing this? Who's writing it?
No,
Ecclesiastes. Solomon. Solomon is the son of David. Solomon built the temple. What is it about Solomon that stands out historically? Well, what did he have? He had two things. Right? And what else? Riches, right. He had a lot of money, and he had a lot of knowledge. And Teresa, I think you probably see people that struggle with, and I do too, in fact, I do struggle with, do you ever struggle with the futility of life? See, this is Solomon. And look what he says. You got your Bibles open there to Ecclesiastes? Look at the second verse. This is a guy who had it all. And what does he say? Absolute futility, says the teacher. That's Solomon. Absolute futility. Everything is futile. Skip down to verse 12 on the first chapter there. I know that this resonates with you because I slip into that futility of life sometimes. I slip into, you know, why even do it? What's the point? Why get up? Why go to work? Why do your preaching? Because the enemy says, see, this is the enemy's tool in our lives, believe me. It's futile. It's all futile. Look at verse 12 and 13. Here's where we're going to zero in on what Paul's talking about in Romans 8. I, the teacher, have been king over Israel in Jerusalem. Verse 13 then. I applied my mind to seek and explore through wisdom all that is done under heaven. And look at what he says next. Is that not a stunning statement, what Solomon says next? God has given people this miserable task to keep them occupied. The misery of having to know why. The tyranny that can exert over you and me. You get that? Solomon says facetiously, sarcastically, that God's given man this, he calls it a miserable task of having to know why this or that has occurred. And it's a tyranny. I have to know why this happened. Or I have to know why this didn't happen, and I'm going to spend all of my energy and my resources in figuring that out. Verse 14, I have seen all the things that are done under the sun and have found, look at that, everything to be futile. A pursuit of the wind. This is the enemy's tactic. What if we let go of that? This is the Advent season. You might say, Tim, this is an odd Advent message. And I would say back to you, well, fair enough in a sense. But actually, it's exquisitely appropriate to the Advent season because if you can grasp this, if the Holy Spirit can drop this into your heart, you're going to get a tremendous gift. Tremendous gift of peace and freedom. What if we didn't have to know? Imagine that. What if you didn't have to figure it out? What if you didn't think linearly? The enemy's tactic. Boy, he shackled me with this tactic for years. I have to know why. And God you're going to explain it to me because that's your job. And until I hear an explanation, I'm not going to deal with you. You ever do that with God? You come and meet my terms, God, and then I'll come toward you. And Solomon says, it's a miserable task. It's a tyranny. And then look at verse 15. What is crooked cannot be straightened. This is Solomon's conclusion. What is lacking cannot be counted. Is that true? Anything crooked or lacking in your life? And what if that were true, what Solomon says? Desperation, quiet desperation, futility, chasing the wind. Verse 18. For with much wisdom is much sorrow. As knowledge increases, grief increases. What do you think of that? Hemingway. Nietzsche. Brilliant men. Had a lot of knowledge. Had a lot of wisdom. What'd they both do? They both killed themselves. I think that, with Teresa and I talk about this, the people that are least aware sometimes are the happiest. The more you know, the more of a tyranny it exerts over you. And Solomon's saying that same thing. He says, he was wise, and he says, the more I knew, he says, the more grief I had. What if we didn't have to know? Verse chapter 2, look at verse 11. When I considered all that I had accomplished and what I had labored to achieve, I found everything to be futile in a pursuit of the wind. There was nothing to be gained under the sun. This is a guy who had it all. So we have a man who had it all, and he's saying everything's futile. On the other side of that river, we have people who have nothing, are bereft of everything, and they also think that it's futile. So having it all leads to futility. Having nothing also leads to futility. What does that tell us? What's the antidote to futility? Is it possessions, or is it not having possessions? It's neither of those things. That's what we find out here. That's what we find out. See, that's chasing the wind both ways. We find out that peace must be then connected to something else. Peace is not gained through knowing why. Peace is not gained through having it all. Peace is not gained through not having everything. So something in between there gives us peace. This is a gift. Merry Christmas from the Spirit. Let's go down to verse 18. The emptiness of work. I hated all my work at which I labored under the sun because I must leave it to the man who comes after me. How good is that? How good is that? It's like the parable Jesus told about the farmer that had it all. And he built bigger barns to store his things in, because that was his life. And then the Spirit comes to him that night, that very night after he finishes building this great barn. And he says, you fool. He said, tonight your soul is going to be required of you. And then whose will all of these things be? And who knows whether he will be a wise man or a fool? Yet he will take over all my work that I labored at skillfully under the sun. And then he says, this too is futile. What am I doing, knocking myself out, doing all this because I'm just going to leave it to somebody who doesn't care? Verse 20, so I began to give myself, here it is, verse 20. So, when you think that way, so I began to give myself over to despair concerning all my work. That's the great gift that as God's people, because Paul says in the Corinthian correspondence, 2 Corinthians chapter 2, I think, no, it's 1 Corinthians, he says of the Christian, your work will survive. Your work will go on into eternity in ways that we couldn't imagine because you're going to build on precious gold and metal. And he said, if you don't, he said, your work's burned up. So, how's the antidote for this despair that Solomon has? Well, to know that as a person of God, our work goes on. Our work lasts. Our work goes into eternity. And you're going to see it someday. Well, it wasn't all for nothing. I didn't leave it to someone who didn't care. It's not futile. What a gift. Verse 24. But Solomon doesn't stay there. Solomon moves to this conclusion. There is nothing better for man than to eat, drink, and to enjoy his work. I agree with that statement. There really is. Work is good. When are you going to retire, Tim? When are you going to retire? What am I going to do? What am I going to do on a Tuesday morning? I wake up and I'm retired. It's Tuesday morning and it's raining. What am I going to do? Bug trees all day? Probably. That's what, you want me to keep going, don't you, honey?
I'll be working.
No, you'll be working. There's nothing better for a man to eat, drink, and to enjoy his work. And then he makes this conclusion, I have seen that even this is from God's hand. I want to talk to you about the power of not knowing when we get into Romans. I want you to grasp onto the power of not knowing, the power of not understanding, the power of not having to know why. Because I think there are things crooked and lacking in your lives and in mine. And I can be like Solomon. I can try and figure that out, and it can be a miserable task that never will come to fruition this side of eternity. If only this hadn't happened. If only that hadn't happened. If only this had happened. If only that had happened. I remember when we lost Timmy, coming up on 17 years ago. And, you know, Teresa and I were in this abject despair. And so I said to her, I remember saying to you, either this is all true or something really irredeemably bad has just happened to us. Remember that? Because there's no middle ground. You see, that was my driving force and hers. That was our driving force. We had to know. Do we need to understand? Is what is crooked remaining crooked forever? And is what is lacking gone forever? Because if that's true, I don't think I could live with that. Something really bad has just happened to us, and there's no recourse. Futile. See, we've all predestined our lives. You have. My sons have. Tad, Tommy, Tori, each one of you have predestined your lives. In other words, you have in your mind, this is how my life is going to go. This is what I'm going to do when I'm 35. I'm going to do this. When I'm 40, I'm going to do this. That's predestining your lives, and everybody does it. You three are doing it right now. And then you reach your goal. Your goal is your life will be what you had always predestined and envisioned. Now, what if that doesn't work out? See, is are we like, life can't be like this, can't be like the following, that we're standing on, like Pickett's charge, okay? We're standing back, and we got this big field to cross to get to the other side. That's life. And on the other side of that field is nirvana, is everything goes our way. And can life be the one who has the most acumen to walk through the field, let's say it's a minefield, can life be the one who has the most acumen to get through that field and not step on the mine is the winner? You know what I mean? I mean, can it really come down to that? Because I have a lot of acumen, I think. I'm arrogant, yes, but I do. I think I have a lot of acumen. I know that woman has a lot of acumen. Yet we stepped on a mine. So is it over? Is it crooked forever? Is it lacking forever? Too bad. That's it. And I see people, and you do too all the time, that seem to get through that field and never step on a mine. And you step back and you look at them and you say, why me? Why me? So, see, that's the misery of having to understand. And then we fall into the Solomon futility of life thing. And that's a black hole. That is a swirling vortex that will suck you down and keep going. And that is the enemy's tool. Because the enemy doesn't want us to know what Romans 8 contains. Doesn't want us to. The enemy wants us to stay in Ecclesiastes chapter 1. It's the Advent season. If you plug in, and I'm going to ask you to, if you plug in, Romans 8 has such tremendous gift for you. And I think it should mean something that, you know, it's been 3 years marinating since Jamaica. And now, for I don't know why, but now's the time. God said, now's the time. Tim, talk about it. I know you've been wanting to. I'm going to. You're going to, hey, how about this? If we do a circular thing when I'm talking about this, you'll really be blessed and you will have a gift and it will change your life. Instead of like verse 20, so I began to give myself over to despair. Let's stop that nonsense. We're God's people after all. We have something they don't. Long introduction, yes, but I think it was important before we broach the very important topic that Paul brings out in chapter 8. And I hope, and I pray, and I do pray for all of you, that you will be here. Now, the enemy's going to try and keep you home. The enemy wants to keep you in Ecclesiastes chapter 1. The Spirit wants to take you to Romans chapter 8. Don't let him isolate you. Let's take this journey together. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray your blessing on this message and the important news that you have to give to your people. Bless all who are here, Lord. Protect us from the evil one. Amen.